Raptors with a loss last night, but 5-2 in their last seven. Been a strange start to the season. Lots cooking in the NBA. And to chat about it, we're joined now by Ramona Shelburne of ESPN. How you doing, Ramona?
Doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. I feel like we constantly recalibrate how we feel about this Raptors season. You know, they've been so good for so long. We've been so lucky to just watch them run out winning seasons and a title a couple of years ago. But they're in Tampa. They started 2-8. You know, their depth has been challenged. They've had some injury problems. They're clearly not a top-tier team in the East, but I still think they can be a middle-of-the-pack team. Where do you stand on the Raptors and the improvement of a lot of teams in the East?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, like, I feel like the teams in the East are like, you know, the Raptors are the only ones who have proven they can win a title of this group, right? We came into the season thinking, like, you know, okay, Milwaukee really wasn't great in the bubble, but they're still the class of the East. They had the best record in the league last year, and, you know, they'll do better when they're back under normal circumstances now that they have Drew Holiday and Giannis is locked up. And it kind of hasn't been. I mean, they're good, but it hasn't. They're not running away with it like they were last year. Philly's been a nice surprise. They're kind of putting it all together, and Embiid's has, like, the highest PER in the league. He looks like an MVP candidate right now. Boston, same thing. But I got to be honest, I don't know how to read any team right now. Just the season is so weird with all these missed games and people sitting out, you know, the postponements and this and that. So it was such a quick turnaround. It was such a weird off season, a weird season. Like, I just think as long as you kind of, like, stay in it, it almost might not matter what your records are, because, I mean, by the time we get to the playoffs, maybe we'll have some fans or something, but it's just not the same as usually, right? I feel like the Raptors know how to win, but they're adjusting to life without Serge and Mark. And I think Boucher's been a really nice surprise here, but it takes a minute. There's the consistency that they'd really gotten so much out of over the years, took a hit when they lost those guys.
So with that being the case, has it allowed you to adjust your overall projections in terms of who's going to win a title or compete for a title? Or do you still think the Lakers, Clippers, you know, the two or three teams you felt good about anyway, are going to be standing at the end?
I mean, it just looks like the Lakers are really good again, right, doesn't it? I mean, they got a good game coming up here. They'll show us something when they play against Philly. I think they're against tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It seems to be the two best records in the East and the West, right? That's a good one. And you know, I think Joel Embiid sat out the other night, so he could be ready for this one. He always enjoys these head-to-head matchups. And everything I've seen from the Lakers is they look great. They look maybe better than last year even. The only question I had was how they were going to physically respond to such a short offseason. And then, you know, also when you win, you have that championship hangover sometimes. They don't really look like it. I mean, it kind of looks... Anthony Davis started a tiny bit slow for him, but wasn't really that big a deal. There's been a pretty seamless integration of Dennis Schroeder into the starting lineup and some of the additions they've made. So I just think they look great. The Clippers have looked good, but, you know, until they win, they're almost like the Raptors from a few years ago before they won, right? Like, they look great in the regular season, but then I don't trust them yet until they win, so they got to prove something. The team that's really looked good to me this year so far is Denver. I think they look, you know, Jokic obviously been playing at an unbelievable level, but that's the team I'm wondering if they take that real step forward, right? Because that's a team that could crack into that Western Conference and upset things. But yeah, in the East, you know, other than Philly being a bit of a surprise and Toronto being a bit of a disappointment early on, but they've now kind of righted the ship a little. I think the East is kind of what we thought it was, right? Wide open.
Mm-hmm. Ramona, I just had a question. I know it's old news, but you're a connected person throughout the league. I just wanted to kind of get your take on kind of how the Harden thing went down, or just the opinion of everyone through the league and the ripple effect, and then just going to Brooklyn and the Kyrie Irving stuff. Like, do you think that they'll be able to put it together there and be a force, or is it just seem like there's just so many moving parts there?
You know, I have really enjoyed watching Brooklyn the last couple of games because Harden kind of turned into the facilitator. I mean, I saw this stat the other night. He had 19 shot attempts and 19 assists. Like, well, if James Harden's going to be that guy, then that's, they're going to be real scary. Like if he turns into the, because he's a great passer. I mean, he really could be that kind of a point guard. And he actually was that early in his career when he was the sixth man in Oklahoma City. That's what his job was setting up Katie and Russ. So this is in a way not the James Harden we've seen the last few years. It's a different version of him, but I think it's a good one. And in terms of how it went down, you know, look, there were a number of like 5-6 teams I think that were in it, you know, kind of going back and forth on trade offers and discussions, and the Raptors were interested. They kicked the tires on it, you know. They were just kind of gauging the interest level and their offer against the other offers. I think the problem for the Raptors was they would have to give up really the heart and soul of their team, right? They would have had to give up Siakam, or they would have had to give up VanVleet, and I don't think that either of those guys is valued as highly as the Rockets valued Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons would have been, you know, the best player they could have gotten for him, right? And so if you're Toronto, why are you going to go down that road? Like if your offer is going to ultimately lose out to the other offers and you're not interested in, you know, completely gashing your team, I think they, you know, like they stayed close, but it didn't get serious with them. And so I think it really came down to those two teams and a little bit the Celtics, but they kind of backed away at the end. They were interested, but they, you know, Jaylen Brown's been playing so great and Tatum's playing great. And then it's also hard to see what you don't want to give up too soon on those things. So I think the runners up where it was Philly and Boston, they may end up being glad they didn't do the trade, right? Because they both have young teams with young stars that are trying to blossom. And if you pull the plug too soon on that, you tend to regret it, right? And this is different than the Kawhi trade. Kawhi had 1 year on his deal, so he wasn't going to get the same haul as James Harden was, who had 3 years left on his deal.
With Ramona Shelburne of ESPN. So you're in L.A., you live in L.A., you report from L.A. I think we caught up with you, I guess, 363 days ago after the passing of Kobe Bryant. And just to get your, I guess, take on the whole scene, yeah, the tragedy, but also the feeling around L.A. And now it's been a year without Kobe. And what obviously his legacy speaks for itself, but the mood around L.A. over the past year, there's been a lot of distractions with COVID and other things. But, you know, what does Kobe Bryant still mean to L.A. a year out?
You know, it's weird. It feels like a million years ago, right? Doesn't it? It's because so much happened last year. Like Kobe's passing was kind of like the first awful thing that happened in 2020.
Yeah.
And I still remember every single second of it. I mean, I remember where I was, what I did, how it felt, what I did afterward. I remember everything that happened that day, like it was yesterday. But in another way, it feels like it was a really long time ago, you know? And, you know, I think everybody kind of has that same feeling in L.A., like that L.A., he really feels kind of almost like the civic angel now. Like, he's all over the place. Everywhere you drive, there's murals of him and Gigi. I mean, it's like, and I hear people hear him referenced all the time just in everyday conversation. It's Mamba mentality, Kobe up, right? Like, people just say it. Like, you know what it means now. You don't have to just define it because he embodied that for so many people, and I think he became larger than life, you know, as a player, but even, you know, even maybe more so last year, right? So that's what it feels like in L.A. is like, it's a really sad thing, but it was the first really sad thing that happened last year. And, you know, I live in a city that's, you know, one of the, we've had a little decline in our COVID rates here, but it's been pretty bad for the past 6-8 weeks. With the spike that we've had, I mean, it's, you know, L.A. was like the epicenter of the world, right, in terms of the highest infection rates. So everybody that you know knows someone who has either had COVID or died from COVID. I mean, it was just sort of the first, you know, Kobe's death was really like the first horrible thing that happened. And we haven't really seen a lot of sunshine since. Although I will say this, it was pouring rain the last few days here, which, you know, people in L.A. are like, oh, my God. Pouring rain, right? We freak out when the temperature gets below 50, okay? And it was weird because, you know, I remember it was foggy the day of the plane crash, the helicopter crash. It was really foggy. And I always remember the weather that day because that's really what caused this horrible crash. And you know, there was a detail in the LA Times that I hadn't seen anywhere else that really shook me the other day, is that you know, they were originally going to fly a little bit later, but I guess they moved up the flight because Toby wanted to scout the game beforehand. And I just, you know, I have this awful thing, like, God, you know, so many things just conspired to make that happen. You know, they leave an hour earlier so the fog hasn't burned off, like the marine layer fog, right? It was kind of cold. It was sort of, you know, the foothills there, it's just the fog just clings to them, you know, and they were flying so low. And I'm just thinking, if he left a little later. And then it was just the last few days, it was, you know, and our Facebook memories were kind of popping up, you know, and I was seeing the stuff that happened. And I remember just looking at the weather, and I was like, it's dreary and cold and rainy, and it just kind of fit the mood. And then today, bright, sunny, beautiful day. It's like I'm sitting outside, and it's instead of, you know, covering up and wearing three jackets because we're such, you know, wimps here with cold weather, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a typical, beautiful California day. And it makes me kind of think, like, you know, that's fitting. I'm really glad it is because, you know, I've been trying to just focus on celebrating his life and not just reliving all the horrible moments from that day because it really was just an awful, awful day.
Yep. That's, I think, very appropriate and hopefully will be the case moving forward. We always appreciate your time and your insight, Ramona. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There's Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, NBA insider and reporter from L.A., lives in L.A., from L.A., and 1 year since Kobe, and she's right. I mean,
yeah.
It feels like it was a decade ago and was the beginning of probably the worst year of everyone's collective lives. I mean, everyone's got different things going on in their individual life, but as a society, 2020 will never be forgotten.
No.
It will not be thought of as in a positive manner or a
Can't
positive
be.
Light.
Yeah. No,
it began with right. Kobe. It really did for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know what? I just looked at my schedule. I was flying back that day. Yesterday was from the All-Star game in St. Louis, I believe.
Right.
And that seems like a lifetime ago, and it's
All-Star
only one game.
It's like that's an event that just gets naturally canceled now.
No kidding.
You know, like just automatically canceled.
Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah,
yeah.
Like that was that is a lifetime ago, but only a year. Wow, that's crazy.
Yep, it is for sure. So thanks again to Ramona for joining us and.